The sounds of the Symphony Hall Birmingham organ with the Toccata of Vidal's Fifth Symphony as played by one of the world's finest organists, Thomas Trotter. Now, if you're new to the sounds of the organ, you might wonder why the cinema organ sounds a little different in the main from the sounds of the mighty classical organ. But in order to understand, we have to go back in time and quite a long way. So it's time for me to cue that sort of very stock cheesy harp time travel sound effect. Picture it. Ancient Greece in the 3rd century BC, hummus, feta cheese, and the origins of the pipe organ can be traced back to the ancient instrument, the hydrolis, which would have sounded something a little bit like this. This humble instrument was in fact the genesis of the pipe organ, in which the wind supply was created by the weight of displaced water in an airtight container. Skipping forward to the 12th century, the organ began to evolve into a complex instrument capable of producing different timbres. An organ with great leaden pipes was sent to the West by the Emperor Constantine V as a gift to Pepin the Short, King of the Franks, in 1757. What about in this country? Well, the first organ of which any detailed record exists was built in Winchester Cathedral in the 10th century. It was apparently a huge machine with 400 pipes, which needed 2 men to play it and 70 men to blow it, and oh, that's an awful lot of wind, and apparently the sound could be heard throughout the city. Oh, they loved a bit of melodrama back then. By the 17th century, with lots of development, notably in France, most of the sounds available on the modern classical organ had been developed. From that time, the pipe organ was the most complex man-made device, a distinction it retained until it was displaced by the telephone exchange in the late 19th century.
Now, it's funny that the telephone exchange should be mentioned at this point, because the next stage of the organ's development from the church to the cinema came from Houghton the Wirral in Cheshire.
Robert Hope Jones was born in 1859, and by the time he was in his late teens, he was working as chief electrician of the Lancashire and Cheshire Telephone Company. In connection with his telephony work, he invented a multitude of improvements, some of which were latterly in universal use. It was Hope Jones's knowledge of the telephone exchange and his love of music that would spark a journey into organ building, and in 1890, Hope Jones had set himself up as a business to build electronic organs. Among his innovations in the field of organ design were improvements to the electropneumatic action, that's to say the bit between the console and the pipework, and the invention of such stops as the diaphone, which was initially invented as the foghorn, and the modern tibia clausa. His organs were also noted for the use of stop tabs instead of the more traditional draw knobs. Very high wind pressures, that's to say the amount of wind being blown through the pipe at any given time, were also introduced to closer imitate orchestral instruments. Hope Jones's collaboration with Rudolf Wurlitzer at the Wurlitzer Company in 1914 also brought about the more liberal use of expression and a stronger use of tremulance. Let's take a look at the cinema organ a little closely. The console, the bit you can see, will have 2, 3, 4, or even 5 keyboards. These are referred to as manuals. Around the manuals, in a horseshoe-shaped array, the organist, or yourselves, will find a selection of stop tabs in various colours, and at various pitches. The colour schemes do vary between manufacturers. Yes, it wasn't just the mighty Wurlitzer that was imported to the UK. Several British companies soon caught on to the idea of making cinema organs, some of which were the John Compton Organ Company of Acton, Hill Norman and Beard, who branded their cinema organs as Christie's, the Spurden Rutt Organ Company of Leighton, the Hilsdon Organ Company of Glasgow, and the Jardine Organ Company of Manchester, and all of these brands had their own unique tonality. You'll also hear our presenters talk about ranks of pipes. This refers to a particular family of pipes and the number that are included within the organ. The tibia clausa is the backbone of any theatre organ, so whereas you would expect the classical organ to sound like this, the theatre organ would actually sound a little like this in the main. The cinema organ would also incorporate a more orchestral range of instruments such as clarinet, orchestral oboe, saxophone, there are also ranks with peculiar names, such as crummet and kinura, which, although sound a little odd on their own, can be used to great extent when mixed with other ranks. Not only is a selection of more orchestral pipework included in the cinema organ, but a range of percussions, both tuned and non-tuned, and I'm sure you don't need me to tell you some of these sound effects, which will be familiar to anybody. And just for some context, all of those instruments that you hear, both tuned and non-tuned, are actual instruments. There is a full-scale xylophone, glockenspiel, individually operated by motors and hammers. These instruments are complex machines. The use of the electronic relay meant that the console could be totally detached from the pipework. This meant that the console would often be found placed on lift platforms that could rise into the spotlight. It also meant the introduction in later years of illuminated surrounds, a glass structure around the console that would change colour for theatrical effect. So there you have it, the birthplace of the organ in the cinema, and a little insight into the development of the organ from its 3rd century Greek roots right the way through to the early stages of the cinema organ in Great Britain.